needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves. Happy Thursday to you as we come into the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee, intern Cam has the Periscope up if you want to watch. Crawdad Cody is back. Interesting. The Crawdad shirt usually means like, hey, I'm ready to go. Got some places to be. And then I look and you got the basketball shorts underneath. Like, what's happening today? You're telling me two different stories with your top and bottom.
You mean to tell...
You're telling me two different stories.
The shirt with all the crawfish on it with the tropical look means it's a professional day?
Well, not a professional day, but it's got a collar, so like it means like something's going on. It doesn't scream basketball shorts.
The thing is, the Periscope audience wouldn't have known about the basketball shorts.
Sorry.
Had you not...
Sorry. You're like those guys on ESPN. You'll see them wearing like the suits from the waist up, and then you'll see them below. They'll have basketball shorts on as well.
Or swimming trunks or
something. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Business up top, party down bottom, you know. That's basically what it is. But it's good to be here. Good to be anywhere. I see you finally got your shirt.
Oh, I got it before. I've worn it once or twice before. I got like a year later.
You just haven't worn it in a long time.
Yeah. But I'm wearing it today.
Yeah, it's a nice shirt.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
It's from the room.
Yeah.
You're tearing me apart, Lisa.
That's correct.
It's a great shirt.
Thank you.
Just so the audience knows.
I don't know if the audience can see behind my computer, but
so
I'll model for them a little bit later, I guess.
Yeah. Well, how's life today?
Life's good. Life's good. I was able to acquire my three passes for Friday that I was looking for.
I saw at one point you had two out of the three.
I came up with a third one. So I think we are good to go there. So that was a relief from yesterday. Got the yard mode last night at 8 o'clock. Beat the rain. I don't think the rain actually ever came, but it looks like it was going to rain. Got that done. Everything's good over here.
Yard mode.
Good basketball game last night. Controversial finish in hockey. The Braves, one of their big prospects, gets caught up and hits a home run. A decent little day of sports for everyone.
Yeah, I watched the end of the Bucks and Raptors game. It seemed like the Bucks just kind of pulled away there at the end when they needed to.
Yeah, poor Kyle Lowry.
It was tied up, I guess, at 98, and then the couple of turnovers, and then all of a sudden the Bucks have a 6-point lead, and then they built.
I want to say that the Raptors were up 100-98, and then the Bucks hit back-to-back threes to make it 104-100, and that was pretty much, you know, whenever you – it looked like they had the game in hand.
The Bucks just scored the last points of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they just – you know, it was tied at 98, I know. And the finals, 108-100, so.
Toronto came out early, got out to a 11-point lead after the first quarter. They looked like, okay, we're going to go on the road, and – this is all going to pay off. We don't care about home court advantage. We rested Kawhi, you know, 20 games this year for this reason, for him to be ready. He came out. He scored a quick 9 points. Raptors looked good. Held that lead all the way through three quarters, and then went to the fourth quarter, and Milwaukee exploded. Won the quarter 32-17. Won the game 108-100. It will forever be known as the Brook Lopez game. Which I feel a little vindicated, right? Because I said, like, you know, when we were drafting assets, I was like, hell, really, at like 4 or 5, just go ahead and give me Brook Lopez. I said, I don't know if the big men from the Raptors are going to be able to get out there and guard him.
He had a big fourth quarter.
And then Brook Lopez explodes in the fourth quarter, ends up with 29 points, 11 rebounds, 4 blocks, vastly outplays Mark Gasol, who looked awful out there. 2 of 11 from the field. Outplays him badly. Outplays Serge Ibaka badly. and was the difference in the game. And I don't want to make it about the Lakers because they're not playing, but I got to make it a little bit about the Lakers because Brook Lopez is pretty much the perfect possible center for LeBron James to have. A guy who can splash threes, protect the rim a little bit, grab a couple rebounds, make shots. And the Lakers had him last year and could have re-signed him, but like, nah, give us JaVale McGee. We're good. Give us Rajon Rondo, Lance Stevenson, and JaVale McGee. Give us three guys who can't shoot rather than a center that was tailor-made to play with LeBron James. That would have helped open up a lot of space for a Lakers team that didn't have any shooting. Magic Johnson, Rob Pelinka are like, nah, we're good. We don't need you. See you, Brook Lopez. And then Milwaukee goes out and gets him really off the scrap heap a little bit.
Got him for cheap.
Yeah, I mean, he was cheap. He shouldn't have been cheap, especially in a day where shooting is so valuable to have a center like that who can bomb threes. But they got him for under $3.4 million. Like, they gave him a one-year deal for $3.3 million. And Brook Lopez, I'm thinking, is earning himself a lot of money. Like, I think Brook Lopez is going to get paid this offseason. Game one was a good indication as of why. Now, maybe Milwaukee just has to bite the bullet and go over the tax to keep him, but it seems like it would be worth it. When you say that Brook Lopez is tailor-made for LeBron James, he's also tailor-made for Giannis, someone who can get to the rim at will and needs four shooters around him to be ultra-efficient, and Brook Lopez has really helped unlock that offense, and he's going to get paid this offseason. I couldn't help but think about the Lakers and LeBron James and like, man, how did you let that go for JaVale McGee? Who had a pretty good year, but JaVale McGee can't make a shot outside of 8 feet. And you have Brook Lopez, a.k.a. Splash Mountain, which I think should go in the top 10 of best nicknames ever.
Splash Mountain?
Yeah.
That makes sense for a big guy who can shoot.
And he loves Disney World. Like, he's obsessed with Disney World.
That's a little weird, but...
It is a little weird, but he loves Disney World. Him and like his brother Robin would... They like went and did videos from Disney World. Like, they love it.
Robin?
They're twins, Brooke Lopez.
His brother named Robin?
Brooke Lopez, Robin Lopez. Robin's the one with the crazy, he's got kind of the afro going.
Makes sense that they would like Disney World, I guess.
Twin brothers.
Named Brooke and Robin.
I don't, just mean like because they're girl names or what do you say? Oh, okay. Yeah. First I thought you were going Batman with Robin, but I was like, where does Brooke come in? I was like, Robin, that's not even Disney. I was like, oh, wait, maybe you just mean they both sound like girls' names?
It's pretty neat to have twin boys and name them girls' names.
Pretty neat for them to grow up to be 7'1" and be in the NBA, too.
That's much neater.
That's way cooler.
That's the neatest part about it.
Shout out to Johnny Jones at Stanford for having both of those monsters on the team, and I believe they lost in the first or second round of the tournament the year they had them.
I was going to say congrats to their parents.
Well, yeah, congrats to the parents, too. Raised two monsters, two sweet kids.
Was their dad in the NBA?
I don't think so. Assuming, not that I know of, if he was.
Assuming he's a tall guy.
I would think so.
Yeah, just genetically, you know.
I would imagine that's four generations of large family breeding.
They're both 7 feet tall?
They're twins. It'd be weird if one was 7'1" and the other one wasn't.
Couldn't that be possible, though?
I mean, I guess it's possible.
For one twin to be short?
I don't know how fraternal twins work. I mean, identical obviously are different. But
Twin Towers would be another good nickname for them.
Identical, you have like the exact same DNA, so like they'd basically almost always be the same. But fraternal, like it's basically how it's laid out is basically like it's two different eggs that get fertilized, so it's basically two different children that just basically get born at the same time.
Kind of like Jamie and Cersei. They don't look exactly alike, but we know they're twins.
I mean, they're actors.
No. They're real people. Those are real people.
In the book, are they identical twins?
I don't know if they're identical.
I bet in the book they're supposed to look more similar.
We're led to believe they are twins, though.
Mm-hmm.
And I choose to believe those aren't actors. That's a real world that we're just watching. So, Brook Lopez and Robin Lopez.
Yeah, it couldn't really be the Twin Towers because for a while Robin wasn't very good. But then Robin, I don't want to say he was the good one, but then Robin became like the good defensive one. And he was just like I don't want to say enforcer down low, but I mean, he was a pretty good rim protector and was a pretty, you know, a big man that had more grit to him.
Yeah.
And Brook was quote, soft, although Brook could score at all. Like, in Brooklyn, Brook Lopez could get buckets. And even in L.A., he could get buckets, but he was kind of soft. And, you know, around the rim, you couldn't really rely on him. So he's like, you know what? Screw it. I don't want to get hit anymore. I'm going to start bombing 30-foot threes and get a cool nickname like Splash Mountain.
Which turned out to be cooler than Twin Towers would have been.
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, you got to be careful with the Twin Towers references. Sure.
Yeah.
You know. It would have worked in the 90s better.
It did. Didn't they call Tim Duncan and David Robinson the Twin Towers?
Oh, did they?
I think so.
Hmm.
At least that's what I remember growing up. I mean, I was like 7 or 8, but that's what I remember. I think we've kind of moved away from that.
Yeah.
Now we just call him Splash Mountain.
Just got to be careful with that.
Yeah. Splash Mountain and Robin. I don't think Robin has a nickname. Although Robin's getting some shine in the new Godzilla commercials. I don't know if you've seen those like during
the
playoffs.
How many Godzillas are they going to make?
They're making another one. Godzilla versus the three-headed monsters or Godzilla King of the Monsters or something like that.
Are these like just huge hits?
I don't know. I watched the first one when they came back out with Bryan Cranston. Thought it was a weird career choice by Bryan Cranston, but the movie was all right.
To do Godzilla?
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're at the top of your, I don't want to say your peak, but I mean, Breaking Bad was a thing.
Probably
like
at his peak.
That would say that was your peak. I mean, I just didn't want to diminish his role as Hal and Malcolm in the Middle because, I mean, let's face it, really underrated sitcom. Malcolm in the Middle, very, very good. Doesn't get the same run as it probably deserves.
Who's the main actor?
In Godzilla?
No, in Malcolm in the Middle, the guy who plays Malcolm.
Frankie Muniz?
In the Middle.
Frankie? Frankie Muniz.
Okay. What was Cam saying?
You got any follow-ups about Frankie Muniz?
Not really. I watched him in, what was it, Agent Cody Banks?
Yeah.
And he was on some Disney show, right?
I don't remember him being on a Disney show because he was on Malcolm in the Middle. I don't think he was double-dipping.
Maybe not. I just remember him from Agent Cody Banks.
He was in
Agent Cody Banks. With Lizzie McGuire. She was
in the movie.
In the movie with him. That's what I remember. I watched it when I was a teenager.
And then Frankie didn't grow. So it was kind of weird. Like he kind of like Jonathan Taylor Thomas. Like if you see Jonathan Taylor Thomas, like right when he gets 16, like all of a sudden he's just a little, I don't want to call him a runt, but he makes Ben Lee look tall. You know what I mean?
Ooh. That's a personal shot.
And there's a picture of like Jonathan Taylor Thomas with Jessica Biel and, you know, at one time, she probably really liked Jonathan Taylor Thomas, and she realized, wait a second, this guy's a little pipsqueak. And then she moved on to, you know, Justin Timberlake and such, and Jonathan Taylor Thomas just kind
of
faded into obscurity. Same thing kind of happened with Frankie Muniz, and then he started racing cars, I believe. Not to step on turning left with Cam Black, but can you get me an update while you're there of Frankie Muniz's racing career? Because I think he got into, like, stock car racing. If I'm not mistaken.
I don't think he ever made it in NASCAR.
No, I don't think so.
He might have been in the ARCA series.
I think he started racing cars. Can you verify that for me, Cam, on turning left? I'm looking forward to the update.
Was he just inspired by, like, the Fast and the Furious movies?
Maybe. I don't know. He, like, quit acting. I mean, I don't think there's many people knocking down the door for him, but.
Except maybe in, like, a racing movie.
And then there might have. I think I want to say he had a mental breakdown, too, but I might be making that up. I don't know.
That
I don't want to slander the man.
That happens.
Can you get an update on his mental health too, Cam? Can you find out whether or not he had a mental breakdown?
Is he alive?
Because there was something where he like says he couldn't even remember being like in Malcolm in the Middle or something like that. He'd like blocked it out of his memory or something. Maybe verify that. I'm just kind of recklessly speculating. I hope he's not listening. I would hate to offend Frankie Muniz because I did love Malcolm in the Middle. Loved it a lot. One of my favorite shows.
Is his last name correctly?
I don't know if I am or not. It's Muniz.
I feel like you've said it 4 different ways.
Muniz.
Isn't it Muniz?
It's like M-U-N-I-Z.
Frankie Muniz.
Yes, Frankie Muniz. Maybe. I don't know. Can you repeat the question? I should have put that in the bumpers whenever we did our monthly theme show.
Hey, did the Jeopardy guy get knocked off?
They're on a break.
Okay, because I watched Jeopardy last night and I didn't see
him. It's teacher's time.
Okay.
Which I'm sure he's sitting at home, you know, thinking, man, I could kill all these teachers and get every single question right. I could get every single one of these clues.
I watched it last night because it just happened to come on after Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, it just happened to. Like it hasn't been scheduled to do so for
30 years.
For as long as we've been alive. It just happened to come on. Although in some places, Jeopardy comes on first. Did you know that?
Yes, I've heard that.
Yeah, some places, Jeopardy comes on first.
Which would be tougher.
I don't want to, like, complain because this isn't exactly topical, but during Jigsaw James's run, like, we get it at 7:30, there'd be people already tweeting about him winning at 7 o'clock. So, like,
you got to stay off Twitter.
It got to the point where I was getting it spoiled on whether or not he won.
Just got to stay off Twitter.
I know. But Brook Lopez scored 29 points and helped lead the Bucks to victory. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. How do you think Kyle Lowry feels today?
Probably better than his other teammates.
Do you think Kyle Lowry is happier today than he was like when he threw up a clunker and the Raptors would still win?
I think so.
Because Kyle Lowry was on fire last night. That was maybe Kyle Lowry's best game as a Raptor, considering the stakes and, you know, on the road, Eastern Conference Finals, Kyle Lowry came out and was balling.
Meanwhile, his teammates 0 for 15 in the fourth quarter.
Kyle Lowry, 30 points, 7 of 9 from 3, 8 rebounds. And like you said, his teammates 0 for 8.
0 for 15.
0 for 15. Oh.
In the fourth.
Yeah.
All of his teammates.
Oof.
And Kawhi came out of there. I mean, Kawhi did nothing. He could not hit any shots. I mean, that was the biggest thing. I only watched the end of this game because it was on at the bar, and I was enjoying the fourth quarter. I kept thinking the Raptors are going to hit some shots. They never hit any shots. The Bucks just pulled away, you know. Lowry was the only guy that could do anything.
Siakam came out. He got off to a good start. He had 9 points in the first quarter early, and he finished as only 15, so they shut him down. You look around, I mean, he finished with 15, so he at least, I guess, contributed. Although, like I said, 6 points over the last, you know, whatever, 39 minutes of the game.
He had a big shot at the end of the third.
You had Kawhi score 31, Lowry score 30, and then pretty much everyone else gave him nothing.
Yeah. Well, everyone besides Lowry gave him nothing in the fourth, though.
Yeah, I mean, Kawhi, I don't know what happened to him.
I don't either. It was frustrating. To answer your question, Kyle Lowry did not feel good after the game. He said it was pretty frustrating. The fourth quarter killed us. They outplayed us. They got more aggressive. They made big shots. We did not. So it didn't sound like he was very happy.
Yeah, but I mean, he has to say that. Like, privately today, is Kyle Lowry walking around like, at least I did my job. Be nice if everyone else would give me and Kawhi some help.
I don't know. I feel like NBA guys are some of the most honest athletes.
Yeah. But, I mean, you still can't come out and say, oh, I didn't lose. Y'all lost. I hit 7 threes. Where was my help at?
There's guys that would say that.
Not in game one. Maybe Kyrie. Kyrie would probably say it, yeah. But everyone hates Kyrie now. Like, Kyrie has completely shown that he is not a good teammate, and there's a reason that the Boston Celtics are looking around like, I don't even know if we really want Kyrie back.
Said they need to do a better job of staying even keeled, not too high or too low.
It's one of those games where you look and you say, yeah, we can play in Milwaukee. It's fine. Not a big deal. But it's also one of those like, man, we have to win one of these games, and we let a really good opportunity go through our fingers.
Just slipped on through.
You don't know if you're going to get off to a good start and have a chance to win that game again. You know what I mean? Like you had to take advantage of it in game one. That's how I would feel if I was a Raptors fan. Like, man, we really let one get away. What happened to Kawhi? Now, maybe I come out and feeling like, hey, we're going to get good Kyle Lowry this series. Kyle Lowry lacks his matchups, and I don't think he's ever going to come out and hit 7 of 9 from 3 again. But compared to the last couple years, when Kyle Lowry has disappeared, for him to come out and be making shots and have confidence, that's huge for them. That's huge. I just think the Bucks have more better players than them. You know what I mean?
More who are better. Yeah.
Yeah, they just have more better players. Like,
yeah,
on the coming off of their bench, I have a lot of confidence in Malcolm Brogdon. Like, Malcolm Brogdon's good.
It's like the old Elton John, Billy Joel conversation. you know.
More hits versus the best hits
they're
type
both,
of thing?
They're both great, but once you get past, like, song number 15, song number 20, Elton's just deeper.
Is that what the conversation is with
that's
Elton?
That's how I view it.
Okay.
I don't know if that's – others might view it differently, but
– I didn't know if, like, that was a – do people debate them just because –
that's a common debate.
Is it because they both have songs that have, like, man in it between Rocket and Piano? Like, oh, is that basically what got the beef started?
Well,
what's better, Rocket Man or Piano Man?
They're both piano guys too.
Yeah,
they're both like kind of solo acts,
okay.
And they're piano guys.
Which one
so.
Does people like more? Do people like Rocket Man more or Piano Man? I feel like I feel like Piano Man.
That's tough.
I feel like I like Piano Man better.
That's a tough comparison. That it really is a good comparison. I used to do this with my friends where we would just go song versus song and listen to them, and you got to pick one.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're not going to do that on here.
But. No. It would take a long time.
So you're calling it a push, too close to call.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if it was like universally accepted that Piano Man was better.
I mean, Piano Man is the bigger hit between those two songs, I think.
Okay.
I think. But they've just got so many that can go head-to-head against each other. But once you get down, eventually Elton's depth takes over.
What's Elton John's biggest hit? What's his biggest hit? Other than, I mean, not excluding Candle in the Wind, I guess. I don't know if that's his biggest hit, but that's
your song,
the most iconic one, I guess.
He's got some of your song. Rocket Man would be one of them. Tiny Dancer.
Tiny Dancer's got to be the answer, right?
Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me.
I feel like Tiny Dancer's got to be the answer. That's coming from someone who doesn't really know anything
Hold
about that.
Closer, Tiny
Rocket Man. Music. Rocket Man is one on Spotify, and two is Tiny Dancer.
In terms of just the top of their popularity or most plays?
Most plays.
Okay.
And then
they don't always do it that way. Sometimes it gets readjusted, and they'll just put their most popular to be like their latest songs or the songs that are more culturally relevant. And there's a movie called Rocket Man coming out, so I didn't know if that's why it moved ahead of Tiny Dancer.
You think you could guess Elton's top five?
No, I could not. I don't know if I could name
your song. Is it on there?
It is. It is the third most or second most played.
Can you give me the number of plays?
Rocket Man is 246 million. Your song is 203 million. Tiny Dancer, 194 million.
Candle in the Wind.
That is not in the top five here.
Damn it.
But it is out of order, like John said. It's not the...
Yeah, so they don't always just go by most played. So you got to be careful there. Made that mistake before, but it ended up... So Rocket Man is just more played.
Yeah.
By a pretty good margin.
Good, so 43
is,
mil.
Yeah.
I guess it is his biggest song then.
Okay.
So that versus Piano Man, that's
a tough
one.
Will you
look
up and see how many plays Piano Man has?
Then you get into who's been on Spotify longer and...
Sure, know, sure. I mean, it's not always an exact science. I'm curious.
Yeah. I don't know which one to pick. If you put that poll on Twitter, that's a 50-50 poll. I guarantee you, that's like a 50-50, or, 55-45 one way or another at the most.
Piano Man has 260 million listens.
Okay, so it's bigger.
Very close.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking it was bigger. A little, but not, but, you know, like 17 million. That could be, like you said, being on Spotify an extra month.
Yeah. So Rocket Man was 243.
Great job doing research by you today, Benley.
Thank
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. Excellent job.
I just think the Bucks have more good players. I have more confidence in their bench, and I think that's going to be the difference in the series. I have more confidence in their starters. I just think the Bucks. We haven't talked about them. And I even got this last night from someone who tweeted in asking me if I thought that the Warriors versus Bucks is going to be like the 07 Spurs-Cavs, where just you get there and the Spurs sweep the Cavs and it's 4-0 and they look overwhelmed. And I don't think people realize that the Bucks have won 60 games. And that, like, last time they checked, 45 of those, meaning what, 75%, were by double digits?
That is the more impressive part of that, that they've just dominated teams.
Right. Like, this has a chance to be a historically great team. Like, we don't talk about them because they're Milwaukee, like you say, Cody, and we don't really buy it in the playoffs. But so far, I mean, round one, they blew through Detroit. Now, granted, Detroit didn't have Blake Griffin for two games, and it didn't matter when they had Blake Griffin. And then they pretty much blew through the Celtics, right? They lost game one and then came back and won four in a row, and none of those four games were really close, right? I mean, they're all four double-digit wins, right? I believe they won them like 12, 20, and, 12 and 18 or something like that.
All four of the wins over the Celtics?
Yeah, like they're an average of like 16 points, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're all four double digits. Like, they are a juggernaut right now. They are, what, 9-1 in the playoffs? And none of those games have really been close. Last night's was. But in the fourth quarter when it was money time, they came out and won it by 15. I'm not going to sit here and say the Bucks are going to beat the Warriors, but they ain't going to get swept.
No.
They ain't going to roll over and just look overmatched. That ain't going to happen.
Not by these Warriors.
No. I mean, the Bucks have what you need to stop the Warriors in terms of just length all around. Now, I don't know how, you know, Mirotic and Brook Lopez are going to look in that series matchup-wise, but their top three, Bledsoe, Middleton, Giannis, those guys are long and can guard different positions. Those guys are going to be fine. George Hill, long, can guard different positions. Malcolm Brogdon, that same type of guy. They can put a five-person lineup out there in crunch time that can pretty much switch one through five.
That'll be an interesting asset ranking if that ends up being the series.
Right.
Which it probably will be.
Now, I don't think Bledsoe can guard a center, so maybe saying they can switch one through five isn't exactly accurate. But against Golden State, like, if you find Eric Bledsoe matched up on Draymond Green, I don't think you're going to have a problem with that if you are the Bucks. Right? It's not like they have a center they can dump it down to and abuse you. They don't have prime DeMarcus Cousins there right now to throw it into, and sorry, Eric Bledsoe, you can't guard me. So, no, the Bucks are not going to get Cleveland calved. That's not going to happen. That would absolutely floor me. I would be shocked if that potential series doesn't go six games at the least. Like, the Bucks are legit. Like I said, they have been great all year. Either people haven't been paying attention because they don't pay attention to regular season NBA, or we keep thinking that, this is going to change because shooting can go cold or Giannis ain't quite ready. It looked ready last night. Problem is with the Raptors, like, you got a good Kyle Lowry performance and it still wasn't enough. It almost was, but it still wasn't enough. I just feel like every single Buck player that comes into play brings something good to the table. Bledsoe didn't shoot well last night, but he's still a good defender. He can still get to the rim. When it was a four-point game with a minute left, he was able to get to the rim and get fouled when he had to kind of put that game away. Obviously, you know what Brook Lopez did. Chris Middleton, 11-11, four assists. Good defense. Versatile. Obviously, you know what Giannis brings to the table, and Mirotic helps space the floor. The Bucks didn't shoot well is the crazy thing. They shot 25% from three. They were 11 of 44. They usually shoot much better than that, and they still won that game. If I'm Toronto, I'm like, man, we got a good Kyle Lowry performance and a bad shooting performance from the Bucks, and we still got our ass beat in the fourth quarter. We still lost the game by eight. That would bother me. But then maybe on the flip side, they say, hey, we went 0 for 15 in the fourth quarter outside of Kyle Lowry. You think that's going to happen to Kawhi again? This is going to be a great series. I don't know about Golden State, Portland, but I know this series is going to be great, and I know the finals are going to be great. Sing us a song, your piano man.
Sing us a song tonight.
It's a good song.
Because we're all in the mood.
Is that a good karaoke song? Do people sing that in karaoke? I feel like that'd be a good sing-along song.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be a good karaoke
you
song,
got
right?
Us feeling home.
I've never seen anybody sing Rocket Man in karaoke, you know what I mean? It might be a good one. I just never seen anybody do it. I've seen people do Piano Man.
I think I'm in agreement with you that I like Piano Man more, but it really is tough, man. Rocket Man's it's a hit. It's
they're making a move. They're making a movie called it.
0 hour, 9 a.m., and I'm going to be high.
Congratulations.
Starting on Monday, May 28th, Talk Sports will be moving to noon.
Tuesday, May 28th.
What?
The 28th is on a Tuesday.
Ah, very well. On Tuesday, May 28th, the show is moving to noon.
You know, in ancient Rome, noon actually meant 3.
Cut your mic off, Ben. Mark your calendars. May 28th, Knoxville's lunch hour gets heavier. Talk Sports moves to noon.
WKGN, the station that doesn't break up its best show to satisfy inferior personalities.
Back on the program. It's another controversy in sports with officiating. Did you see the end of the hockey game last night?
I did not see the end of the hockey game.
Well, apparently you can't hit the ball or the puck with your hand. You can't pass it with your hand, like a hand pass, I think is what they call it. I mean,
like in soccer, you can't touch the ball.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, I guess. At the end of the game, a player was falling down for the Sharks, and he basically batted the ball over to his teammate, or the puck, I keep saying ball, batted the puck over to a teammate who then lobbed it right into perfectly into his teammate's stick, and this guy just ripped a shot from like 5 feet out, and game over.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And, you know, it obviously upset the St. Louis Blues. Like, hey, you have to be better.
Well, and it's crucial because we're down to the nitty-gritty in the NHL playoffs, too.
I mean, that is, you know, they're in the conference finals, and they're now down 2-1. They lost home ice. They had went to San Jose and split, and then they come back and lose game three. Now, granted, they can win game four at home and, you know, be a best of three, but still,
yeah,
to play in overtime and
you feel like you get cheated a little bit.
Lose that game, yeah, you probably feel cheated. Now, granted, like, the refs didn't give up four goals in the second period. That was St. Louis who gave up four goals in the second period.
Yeah, so it's pretty much on them for that. But so St. Louis and San Jose are two of the four, and then we're down to Boston. And who are they playing? They're dominant, right? The Bruins right now?
What if I told you about asking me questions?
I'm not trying to make you look dumb. I'm asking because I think you'll know.
I told you.
You got to take this as a compliment.
Boston. Was Boston. Were they playing? Is Columbus in the East? I mean.
The Blue Jackets.
Carolina.
The Carolina.
There's a C. Carolina.
They were on a run.
Carolina. If it is, I'm rooting for Boston because what that Carolina Hurricane owner did to the AAF, he deserves to.
You can't root for Boston.
He deserves to lose. Now, I'm going to root for the West. I'm not going to root for anybody. I don't really give a damn. But
I'm rooting for Carolina.
Karma. Karma should come for Carolina. Is it Carolina?
Game three of the Boston Bruins Carolina Hurricanes series went very well for Boston as they beat the Hurricanes 2-1 to take the series lead 3-0.
Okay, so it is Carolina.
Boston's rolling.
Okay.
Carolina did something significant like a couple weeks ago, or maybe a month ago. What did they do?
They won their series.
They beat the Predators at one point to take the lead in the division.
Big game.
No. Carolina.
No, that's a different division.
It's a different conference.
Yeah.
They beat the Predators at one point.
Did they knock out the Capitals?
Yes. It was a pivotal game seven, right?
Well, I mean, they won a series because they're still playing.
I just remember watching them in a pivotal game, and they won, and it was huge for Carolina.
They knocked out Washington. I do know that. And then they swept the Islanders, so that wasn't the pivotal game.
It must have been against the Caps that I watched. The only other thing I know of significance about Carolina is that the Hartford Whalers hurt them, or they hate them.
Mm-hmm. Because they moved, right?
Yeah, and they still try to build off the old Whalers.
Yeah. Kind of like how the Houston Texans keep asking the Titans if they can wear their Oilers jerseys, and the Titans are like, no, those are our jerseys. And they're like, come on, it's Houston.
Yeah, well, sorry.
And they're like, nope, sorry, we bought the franchise. We moved the franchise. That's ours. And J.J. Woods like, please, can I wear the Oilers jersey? Like, nope,
you can
not
go
happening.
Play for the Titans if you want.
You want to come to Nashville and play, J.J.?
Do the Titans have alternates where they wear Oilers stuff?
They haven't, but they might this year.
That'd be kind of cool.
It'd be funny if they brought it out against the Texans, like a big double middle finger to them.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt.
And then lose. That would be. You wouldn't want to give them any extra motivation, I don't think. Just saying. I mean, why do that if you don't have to?
Everyone knows you play better in alternate jerseys.
Do it against the Cardinals or somebody.
No, do it to the Texans.
You may lose.
You might, but you might win.
Well, they might get really, really good. And
maybe
then
maybe you need the extra boost. Maybe you need to rattle J.J. Watt. Get him jumping off sides because he's trying really hard to get to the quarterback because he's mad about the jerseys.
And then what happens when the Texans get extra good and they're really, really good and they want to beat your ass extra twice a year?
I'm not saying do it every year. So, like, if the Titans stink next year, don't do it. But I think this year you could pull it out.
I'm just saying, no, don't. I don't like extra motivation.
The extra motivation is put on the alternate jersey. You play better. You feel good. You play good. Everyone knows that.
Look good, feel good, play good?
Yeah.
I've never believed that.
Tell that to South Carolina, 2009. Tell that to them when Lane broke out the black jerseys.
On Halloween night.
Tell them. Tell them that you don't believe in the jersey motivation. Look, Tell it to Georgia 2013. Yes, they won, but those smoky gray jerseys had the boys fired up. They played above their heads. Granted, they lost. Shout out to Pig Howard and fumbling, but
oh, come on.
They played pretty good.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah, let's ignore the Vandy 2013. You can only pull out the alternate jerseys once a year. Everyone knows that. You can't go to the well too many times, or else it's just a jersey. I had a real problem with it when it happened in 2013. I was like, hey, you can only do it once a year, guys. Come on.
They did wear those against Vandy, didn't they?
Really stupid.
Yeah, it was.
Really stupid.
And those looked really bad. So did the black jerseys in 09, if we're being honest, with the white helmets.
They did look bad, but it didn't matter.
It was still kind of cool.
And they came out and beat South Carolina's ass.
But
31-13. Pounded them.
Isn't it funny how we don't always notice change year to year, but then all of a sudden, 5-6 years later, you look back and you're like, wow, those looked really stupid.
No, I think everyone realized they could have looked better at the time.
You think so?
Yeah. Everyone realized you could have looked better, but they were kind of thrown together at the last minute.
Ben nods in agreement confidently.
I mean, I think everyone realized, like, they didn't.
Were you like 9, Ben?
You looked like a big candy corn. Like 14, probably.
I was like 13.
Yeah.
It was like right when I, like, you know, right when you really start to care. I mean, like, Kiffin came out at one point and was like, I mean, we ordered them like the night before.
Right. Like, they were thrown together last minute.
I think people your age and younger got the worst end of the deal on this with Tennessee football.
Like, you think?
Well, obviously, yeah. I'm just saying.
Hot take McClure. Calm down, Cody. There's no way that's true.
Well,
that the people who came to age and fandom in 2009, 2010, that basically their years of 08, 09, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, they had it bad for Tennessee football? Never would have thought it.
I didn't mean for it to come off like I was trying to make some profound statement.
You know, I really think your generation had it the worst, Ben.
If I had leaned towards you, you'd know.
Screw that. We had it worse because we had a taste of success.
That's why I'm saying we had it better. That was my point.
No, we had it worse.
No, we had it better.
They never knew what it was like to win.
I've never tasted good football.
No.
Yes, come on.
No.
It's better to taste it.
It's better to have never known what it's like to be good. To just grow up thinking, hey, this is normal. No. The people.
You're always love and lost guy. We're always on the same page with that.
It is a little bit weird.
But
because,
it's still,
like,
a loss. It's still a loss.
But you loved. I feel like we're always on the same page with that take.
Who are the most miserable Tennessee fans you know? For me, it's the people who are like 35 to 50. From Russell to Bear. Those guys are the most miserable. Russell was in college whenever the 90s, you know, whenever Tennessee won the national championship.
Talk about a guy who had it made.
Russell
was
apex.
In college in 98. I mean, how jealous. I would rather be Russell's age right now. No, I wouldn't. I don't think I would waste 15 years of my life just to have witnessed the 98 season.
And let's face it, if you fast forward to 15 years, we'd start to be getting nervous about you. Like, hey, Cody, you need to quit the drinking and partying all night and the 5 shots of coffee. Let's cut down on that.
Yeah.
I take it to a depressing place.
But for me, it's like I just grew up being told, hey, we're awesome, we're awesome, we're awesome. And by the time, you know, it really got to the point where I cared or started paying attention, it all went to hell.
My thing was, I've always been like, yeah, we used to be really good, and I was 7 and 8 and didn't get to experience it. Never got to have a party. Never got to do anything.
I was 2 when we won the national title. I was 5 when LSU beat us in the SEC championship. And it's been dog crap ever since.
When you look at it from that point of view, Cody, does it kind of make sense that I'm saying, like, we know what it was like to be good. We know that we're supposed to be good. And it's made it worse.
But wouldn't it be worse for us to be a little older?
Well, no, because then, like, when I start talking about Russell, like, they at least got to party
they got
in college.
They got to enjoy the success. I mean, really, guys Russell's age had it made the most.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yet Russell probably wasn't partying, I'm assuming.
No. He's watching the library or in his dorm or something.
Yeah, there's a bit of a football contest breaking out down at the football complex. Back to my book.
The apex of my Tennessee football fandom has been winning 9 games with Butch Jones.
Let me give Bear a call.
Yeah,
Bear, are you watching this football contest? I believe they're playing Arkansas tonight. Clint Sterner's the quarterback. Are you familiar with this?
You've got him pegged different. I've got him pegged more as just watching the game but not partying. Like he likes sports, obviously. He does sports radio.
Yes, ma'am. Could you bring me a warm herbal tea, please?
I think for us to, like, because we see the pictures, you know, of people carrying things out on this, you know, on the strip, right?
My goodness, there's a man running down Cumberland in the nude. He'll be on the docket tomorrow.
Stick with us to talk sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. Well, Cody?
Yes, John.
What do you want to talk about?
Yes,
for
John.
The next 10 minutes.
Well,
make you happy.
There's a lot of stuff out
Golf's going on. We haven't talked about it. I didn't even realize golf was starting. My guy, Matt Kyle, who does the pools, I never got an email for the PGA Championship, so I had no clue it was starting today.
I had a headline about John Daly at the PGA yesterday.
Wait, that was in the PGA Championship? They're letting him ride in a cart in the PGA Championship?
Mm-hmm.
Why was that again? Just because he's fat?
I don't know, I guess. And Tiger was like, hey, he can walk like everybody else.
That's what I'm saying. Like, why are they letting him do that? Just because he's fat? Or like, is there a medical condition?
I don't know.
Like obesity? Like the cigarette smoke? Like what is it?
Those probably all contribute to...
So that was in the PGA... That's in the PGA Championship?
I don't know if he's... I don't know. Is he? He's not.
Surely
he's
not that's playing. Not. Surely that's not that one, right?
He's not playing, right?
Well, that's what I was asking. I don't know.
Is he playing in that? That feels like a dumb question to ask, but I'll ask it.
I didn't know that was going on. What is the?
He won it in 91.
I do know that Tiger came out and immediately double bogeyed one.
He is playing. He's not doing well. He's currently tied for 79.
John Daly's playing in the PGA Championship.
If this guy, Tommy Fleetwood, wins today or wins this weekend, I'm going to be so mad because every tournament I pick Tommy Fleetwood, and of course this one time that I'm not, that I didn't even realize it had started, of course he's at the top of the leaderboard right now at 3-under.
It's early.
I know it's early. He's only through 12 holes. He's got more to go. 18 times 4, what, 72? So he's got 60 holes more to go. I understand that.
He'll fade.
Him and Brooks Koepka tied at the top.
I'm taking Brooks Koepka in this one. I don't think Koepka fades at the PGA.
So you got Koepka winning?
He won it last year. Tiger's what, a three-time winner of the PGA? What was it, 90?
I mean, they play at different courses, though, so I don't know how much that matters.
99, 2000, and 06, is that right, when Tiger won the PGA? Somebody check me on that.
Tiger currently 3-over through 9. So, yeah, he's just going to be scrambling to make the cut, which if you're a PGA golf executive, you're probably like, come on, Tiger, you at least got to make the cut. Like, finish somewhere near the top of the leaderboard for those ratings, because I wanted to test it out to see, because I was under the impression that my theory is that Tiger winning a major at the Masters, obviously, was overall going to hurt golf and their ratings a little bit. Like, not hurt them worse than they were before, you know, when Tiger's not good. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you won't see the same spike as Tiger being in contention gives you. I think that people will care a little bit less because Tiger isn't chasing that, you know, elusive major since his scandal, since his injury, since his life fell apart.
Could have a dip in the ratings until Tiger wins another one, and then maybe if he can legitimately get to Jack.
Sure,
sure. Then I think the ratings go up.
I just don't think we're all going to be sitting around living and dying with his shots on Saturday and Sunday the way we have the last 4 years or whatever.
And the Masters is bigger.
The Masters are bigger. That is true.
It won't be quite the same. I'll still be pretty interested, though. I mean, because he could legitimately get there. Like, if he gets another major win, I mean, we got to start thinking he can catch Jack.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to see that this tournament, though. Like I said, to start off with a double bogey and to be 3-over through 9 holes. I mean, sure, that's only 6 shots back and whatever. That's nothing. But I'm just saying the way his game looks early.
And if he's not in contention by Saturday.
Well, if he's not in contention, I mean, Yeah, I mean, the cuts Friday, obviously, after the second round. But, I mean, I guess what you're saying is contention, like within, what, like five shots or whatever?
Yeah, like even if he makes the cut, I mean, surely Tiger will make the cut. But he'll, like by Saturday, if he's several shots off the leaders, I don't know how much we'll care.
We're asking a lot, though, for a guy who won, you know, one major in the last 11 years to turn around and do it again.
Yeah, and I don't even, you know, I'm not expecting anything. No expectations with Tiger. We got to see him win the Masters, and that was cool.
You think Tiger's going to come out and say, you know, I'm dealing with a lawsuit right now. I ain't got time for this.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the news, but I'm getting sued. I don't know if you heard headlines, but Cody says it was a dumb lawsuit, and I tend to agree with Cody McClure.
Tiger's always on my side.
Yeah. You and Tiger are kind of cut from the same cloth, kind of.
He's more athletic.
And probably a little bit more dedicated to his craft, but you both have your vices.
I'm probably more like John Daly.
I don't want you to be like John Daly.
Not at his age.
I didn't want to put you in the John Daly, riding shotgun with him in his cart as he drives around. I didn't want to put you in that boat.
I could be John Daly's caddy.
Wait, did somebody say John Daly wasn't doing well today? Did somebody say that already?
Ben did.
Did you say that, Ben? He hasn't started yet.
Still tied for 79th.
Tied for 79th, as in not hasn't started yet. I gotcha.
Tied for 79th, not doing well.
Okay. So he's not anywhere close to the lead.
That's all I say.
He's only three shots off the lead.
Currently tied for 79th, cannot be doing well.
By the way, I nailed Tiger's PGA Championship years.
Come on. Round of applause for Cody.
99, 2000, and 06. And, yeah. I missed one. He won it in 07, too. But
You nailed it if you missed it?
I nailed the years on the three that I said he won. Perfection. I just missed that he had won another one.
Do you consider that nailing it? When I think of nailing it, I think perfection. You got it 75% right.
Rounds up to a B.
It does. Kind of.
I passed the Tiger Woods PGA Championship wins class.
I thought, I feel like 75 is a C in almost every school.
It rounds up. Rounds up.
I mean, D in elementary school, or it used to be whenever I was in school.
Yeah, but if we're rounding starts at 5. So 75 is basically 80, which is a B. If we agree
some
to
people
agree to round.
Make 80 C pluses.
Well, those are pretty high standards.
You're right. I got the bar low for you. It's like I said yesterday. It's all about expectations and reality. You actually got an A on my curve. Like, congratulations. You got 100.
Those are the
you
schools.
Did on my curve. You nailed it.
Well, yeah, because if you had asked me what years Tiger won the PGA Championship, you would have thought I could only name maybe one year, probably.
That's true.
And that it would be a lucky guess.
You have set the bar so low that you jumping over it feels like a home run, a grand slam, a touchdown. I don't know whatever comparison you want.
That's how you play the game.
You win or die, or something like that.
Yeah. Great writing back in those days.
Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.